The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rosenfeld.
Bruchim Habayim, today we're going to be continuing in Siman Mem Vav, Halachas of Kashrus, of which foods are permitted, which foods are prohibited. Let's see Halacha Yudalid. Ha'oseh Tavshel, someone that makes a dish, Mibasar from meat, Becholav Shkedim, with almond milk which is obtained from almonds. Sorach L'haniach B'socho Shkedim, one must put in it almonds, Mipnei Maris Ha'ayin, because it would look like regular milk. Almond milk is not milchig. Almond milk is parv. One may consume that with meat, but because it looks like regular milk, he should put almonds inside the milk to show that it's really not regular milk, but almond milk. And we had a similar halacha in Halacha Beis previously, that by the blood of fish, one is allowed to consume it, but he should put some scales from the fish to show that it's from a fish and not from an animal. Let's see Halacha Tezvav. No, again, the custom is shalala hagol kalei chalav, not to hagala the kashering process through boiling water, that he should not kasher kalei chalav di milcha gekelim lishtamish bo b'basar, to switch it to use for meat dishes, or the opposite, to go from fleshigs to milchigs. This custom is saying that if one has milchige dishes, he shouldn't kasher them to use them for fleshigs. And vice versa, from fleshigs to milk exists in some kitzurim. They have ayin magen avraham siman kuf tuf kuf tes of katan yud aleph. That's the source in the magen avraham in the halachas of yom tov, that the magen avraham brings down this custom. The reason is that if one forgets to kasher it, if he switches it from milchigs to fleshigs without kashering it, he would have a halachic issue. Therefore, we don't rely on the fact that he'll remember every time to kasher it. Rather, we say if a dish was used for milchigs, he should keep it milchig. If it's used for fleshigs, he should keep it fleshigs. The Mishnah Berurah brings in Hilchas Pesach, if one was kashering for the sake of Pesach, he had milchig dishes and he had to kasher them because Pesach was coming, then he's allowed to switch it for fleshigs. Because since he's not kashering just for the sake of switching from milchigs to fleshigs, he's kashering for some other reason. Or the same thing, let's say the milchige dish became treif. He used it with some food which was prohibited, and he has to kasher it anyway. If he has to kasher it anyway for some other reason, he can switch it from milchigs to fleshigs or vice versa. But where the whole point is just to switch it from milchigs to fleshigs, there was this custom not to switch it, not to kasher, just to switch from milchigs to fleshigs because of the concern he might forget himself, he might forget to kasher it, and create a problem by switching the gender of the keli. Let's see, Halacha Tezayin. Yayin, wine, ubasar, and meat. V'chatichas, dog, and a piece of fish. She'en bosim, and that it doesn't have any identifying marks. Let's say it doesn't have scales that would identify it as being a kosher fish. She'mafkidin, the one gave it to be entrusted to be watched by a guy. O sholchin bi'ad nachri, or it's being sent, being delivered in the hands of a guy. Hands of a Gentile. Umikoshkin biyad Yisrael choshed, that certainly by a Jew who is suspect to switching foods. Tzarach shnei chosamos, it needs two seals. The idea of this halacha is that if one has food which either is prohibited from the Torah, if it would be switched, for example, meat that non-kosher meat is prohibited from the Torah, fish also which is not if it's not kosher fish is prohibited from the Torah, and wine, even though wine, regular wine that one buys from a Gentile, stam yenom, regular wine produced by a Gentile is not Torah prohibited, it's not prohibited from the Torah, it's prohibited from a rabbinical decree, but still the rabbis gave, Chazal gave a certain stringency to wine of Goyim, wine of Gentiles, to be similar to these other foods that would be prohibited by Torah law if they were switched. So if he started out with kosher meat, kosher fish, or kosher wine, but there's a concern it'll be switched with not kosher meat, not kosher fish, or not kosher wine, he needs to seal it with two seals. Let's say, for example, he has a knot and then a seal on top of that. He needs to have two seals to make sure it's not switched. This applies to both a Gentile who's either delivering it or has it in his control that he's watching it, and also to a Jew who is suspect on switching kosher for not kosher foods, also needs two seals. In a certain sense, the Jew who is suspect on switching it is, the kitzur implied was, is a little bit worse than a Gentile, because the Jew figures that other Jews would trust him and they would not suspect him of switching it. Therefore, we certainly need two seals with these foods that are entrusted to a Jew who's suspect on switching it, and not just for a Gentile who is delivering it or has this in his control. So again, by both a Gentile or a Jew who is suspect to switching, one needs to seal it with two seals by these foods that were mentioned before, by meat, fish, and wine. If he started out with kosher meat, fish, or wine, he has to make sure it's sealed with two seals. The kitzur continues, avayayin mevushal. However, if the wine was cooked, v'chena chometz shel yayin, and also vinegar of wine, v'chalav in milk, upas and bread, u'givina and cheese, Sagi b'chos ha-mechad, it's enough to have one seal. These foods are only prohibited rabbinically. The milk, which is milked by a Jew, bread baked by a Jew, cheese made by a Jew. Wine, even though it's rabbinic in its origin, if it's regular wine, it needs two seals because of astringency with wine, like we mentioned before. But if the wine is not so important, it was cooked, or it's just the vinegar of wine, if the wine is not so important, we are more lenient about it, it's enough to have one seal. So therefore, by these foods, the kitzur mentioned here, to cook wine, the vinegar of wine, milk, cheese, bread, it's enough one seal. But if it's meat or fish or regular wine, it would require two seals, both by a Gentile who has possession of it, or if a Jew is suspect on switching it, we have to make a protection that he shouldn't switch it, and therefore requires two seals. Let's see, Halacha Yud Zayin. Im shalech o mafkid, if he delivers or he gives to be watched in someone's control, and so he gives over a certain food, eze davar besak, a food in a bag, so the stitching has to be on the inside of the bag. He has to make sure the stitches are inside the bag, not outside, in order that the Gentile or the Jew who suspects on switching should not open up the stitching. He has to tie it and seal it. If it's something that requires two seals, it has to be tied and sealed to be considered to be two seals. He also has to make sure the stitching is not accessible. The stitching has to be inside the bag. Let's see, Halacha Yudches. In Ira, if it happened, Shalach Ayde Nachri, that he sent to a Gentile, the same would apply to a Jew who's suspect on switching for non-kosher food. So again, in Ira, Shalach Ayde Nachri, if it happened that he sent through a Gentile, Behema O'ov Shchutim, an animal or a fowl that was shechted, that was slaughtered, O'sha'ar Dovar B'lo Chosam, or some other food without a seal, that if he neglected to make the proper seal on the delivery of the meat or the fowl that he was sending, Yasa She'elas Chacham, he should ask a qualified halachic authority. There might be certain leniencies in certain cases if you could tell it's basically the same item that he sent, or if it was a place that the non-Jew or the Yisrael Chasher, the Jew who's a suspect, if that person would be afraid to switch it in certain cases, there might be a leniency. So therefore, he has to ask a competent halachic authority if there's a leniency if he didn't seal it properly. But ideally, he should seal it, again, two seals with meat, fish, and regular wine, and one seal by the other items mentioned before, by milk, cheese, bread, and wine that was cooked, or vinegar. Let's see, halacha yates. gevinos, if one has cheese, which are dvarim shem biyad nachri, or other items that are entrusted by a Gentile, and also by a Jew who is suspect to switching for non-kosher cheese. Aval bishehim b'chosam, even though it has a seal on it, obitfus, or it has a printed label on it, shem ksherim, that these are kosher. Koshel yodanu michosman, if we don't know who sealed it, asurin, they are prohibited. What the kitchen is describing is the following. There are seals or labels that were used by the Jews to stamp the cheeses to show they were kosher. But there's a concern that maybe those seals or stamps got in the wrong hands, that maybe someone got a hold of it who wasn't supposed to, and it was a forged print or a forged seal, because it's possible that someone got a hold of that stamp, even though he was unauthorized to do so. And therefore, if we don't know that there was a Jew who was trustworthy, who went in and made a run and stamped them with his own stamp, we should not rely on that stamp, because maybe it got into the wrong hands. This doesn't apply to a kosher symbol. Someone sees a trustworthy kosher symbol on an item, we know it's not forged, because there's kosher laws. A person would be sued if he puts it on improperly. There's a legal recourse against someone who forges a kosher symbol, the different kosher symbols of the different organizations, and therefore there's no concern of forgery by the contemporary kosher symbols. But the Kitzur is describing those. If someone had a certain mark he put on his cheese, we have to know that person went in to make a run. If we just go and find the mark on the cheese, we cannot assume it was done properly, because maybe the seals got into the wrong hands. Let's see Allah Chachaf. Yesh li zohar, one should be careful. Shol levashra ol litzlos, he should not cook or roast Yisrael v'nachri, both a Jew and a non-Jew, someone who's not eating kosher. Shtei kideros, two different pots, zu etzel zu, the one pot next to the other. Zeh basar kosher, v'zeh basar treifa. If the Jew is eating kosher meat, then the non-Jew is eating unkosher meat. Imakideros o amachavos megulos, if the pots or the frying pans are uncovered, there might be a dripping or a splashing from one to the other, so therefore you should not put his kosher pot in very close proximity to the treif pot, to the non-kosher pot. The kitzur continues, v'chein yesh lizoher, also a person should be careful, shlo laniach hakederos, not to leave his pots etzel hashvachos, with the maids, the non-Jewish maids that were in the Jewish homes. K'she'en yisrael babayis, if there's no Jew in the house, v'eino yotzei v'nechnas, if he's not entering, leaving and entering. Yosef Nechnas is a concept. If the Jew is leaving and entering at random times, the Jew could walk in at any time. In such a case, we're not concerned that the non-Jewish maid will put some non-kosher food inside the pot. Certainly, if the Jew is constantly in the house, there's no concern that the non-Jewish maid will put non-kosher in the pot. But if not only if the Jew isn't present, but if the Jew is not even expected to return at any time, let's say the non-Jewish maid knows that he'll be gone, the Jews will be gone for a significant amount of time, we're concerned that she'll put non-kosher in the pots, and therefore you shouldn't leave the pots unattended by a Jewish person who can be relied on for the kashrus. He must make sure that the non-Jewish attendant is not left alone, and at some point that a Jew is expected to check in at random intervals, that there's a concept of amirsis, then the non-Jew will be scared to do anything improper if the Jewish person could walk in at any time. So again, this halacha is not to be careful not to leave the not kosher and kosher pots in close proximity. Even if the Jew is standing there, something could happen inadvertently, maybe there could be some splashing. And if he's leaving the house, he shouldn't leave a kosher pot unattended with a non-Jewish attendant. Let's see Allah Chaf Aleph. Mishin makirin oso shu muksak v'kashrus, someone that we don't know who he is, if he's someone who could be relied upon for proper kosher upkeeping. Also liknas mimenu yayin, one may not buy wine from him. O sha'ar devarim, or any other item, sheish lachish b'hem le'isr. If there's some concern, it would be made in a non-kosher way, anything which needs kashrus supervision, if we don't know specifically this person is a person who's careful about kashrus, one may not buy from him wine just based on his word that it's kosher. If we don't know him to be a trustworthy person, we can't just take his word that it's kosher. Miyo im nisareach etzlo. However, if one went to this person as a guest and is eating by that person, ochel imo, he may eat with him. Kosher lo noda lo shuhu kosher, as long as it's not known that he is someone who's suspect on kosher laws. The kids are saying a very interesting halacha here. He's saying the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, if one meets a person, we don't know specifically he keeps kosher. We don't know specifically he doesn't keep kosher. We can assume if he's eating food that he eats kosher food. We can assume that whatever food he's eating is kosher, and therefore if he sees him eating food, he can share in that food and eat with him. However, if you don't see that person eating food, you see him just selling food, it's possible, even though he's careful personally to eat kosher, but maybe he's not scrupulous about selling non-kosher food. And maybe he would pass off non-kosher food as kosher food until we know specifically he has trustworthiness. So therefore, again, the kids are saying a person that we don't know anything about, we can assume he eats kosher and you could eat with him. We can't assume he only sells kosher until we know he has a reputation of being someone who follows kosher's laws. And practically speaking, in our days, this one would have to know the situation. If you know about someone that this person is not careful about kashrus, that would be someone who's kosher. That would be someone who's suspect to not eat kosher. And even if you go and you see that person eating, if he's someone that you, from what you know about them, they're not scrupulous about eating kosher, one would not be allowed to eat with him. So a person has to ask the proper shaila, has to ask a halachic authority, depending on the situation, about which person could be relied on to eat by and which person can't. And again, the halach of the Kitzur was talking about, he was describing a situation that a regular person in his time ate only kosher, but would be suspect maybe to sell not kosher until he had a reputation for selling kosher. Let's see halach of Chav Beis. Yesh li zoher, one should be careful, melohaniach beveis nachi, from leaving in a guy's house, keli, a vessel, sheish locha shema gishtamish bo, that there's a concern he will use that vessel. You should not leave vessels unattended with a non-Jew or someone who doesn't keep kosher that would potentially use those vessels. Vafilo nosnan l'uman l'sakno, even if you gave it to a craftsman, a professional, to fix it, im yesh locha shema nishtamish bo, if there's a concern that maybe that person used it, yaseh she'elas chacham, he should ask a competent halachic authority. The concern that the Kitzur is describing is that maybe that person used it for non-kosher food, and therefore, if he left his vessels unattended in this non-Jewish house, or the house of a person that doesn't keep kosher, and it's possible that the person used it for his personal use, there's a kashrus concern. There are certain leniencies in certain cases one could rely on, depending on the situation, if there's a concern that the person used it or not, and therefore you should ask a competent halachic authority if there's a real concern that this person used his vessels. Let's see halacha chaf gimel. Halacha chaf gimel introduces some concept of trefos, certain animals that there's a concern that they got an injury that would eventually cause them to die. And an animal which is a trefa has these injuries that would cause them to die within the year are considered to be not kosher, because of certain traumas that happen to them. So the kids will be describing certain situations where there's a halachic issue about certain trauma that happens to the animal that will lead to a conscious concern that he will be describing in the next few halachos. Let's see halacha of gimel. Lefa'amim lokhen of kafos. Sometimes people will take a fowl which is tied up, umashlichen osa arza, and they throw it on the ground. So then they shecht it, then they slaughter that animal after it was thrown to the ground. Fu iser gomer, that is prohibited if an animal was thrown to the ground. Ki behema o of shenafal, because an animal or a fowl that fell down. Ein lo heter, it is not permitted to eat. Achiron achakach, until we see it afterwards. Shehalach dalad amos, that it walked 4 amos, hiloch yafeh, a proper walking. 4 amos, according to Moshe Feinstein, is about 85 inches, a little bit over 7 feet. So the halacha concern that the Kitzur is mentioning here, if an animal was thrown to the ground, there's a concern that it got injured through the nefila, through it being thrown down. So you have to see, you can still walk properly that distance of dalad amos, 4 amos, again, according to Moshe Feinstein, about 85 inches, that it still walks straight in a normal fashion. The gambi kvasim, and also with sheep, uba agolim, and with young calves, one must be very careful about this to make sure that there's no kashrus concern of the animal being thrown to the ground. And if it was thrown, one has to check it that it should walk that distance of 4 amos to make sure that it's still not injured from the act of being thrown. Let's see, Allah Chav Dalid. Bimei Akaitz, during the summertime, Shechiach Ma'od Bibar Avzos, it's common to find among geese, Shnimsu Buos Kitanus, there are little blisters, Kiminyabelis, like little warts, he says in the Yiddisher, Avertzalin, like warts, Bivnei Me'ayim. In the intestines, one could find warts. V'harbe Nitrofos Ayidei Kach, many of these geese would become a trefa. They would have a cautious concern that maybe there was a blockage in their intestines, which is indicated by the sickness that is shown on their intestines, that there's like warts or blisters on the intestine. Alkein therefore tzrichen lizor ma'od, one should be very careful. Livdok habnei me'ayim, to check the intestines of these geese. Ukushinimsu buos ketanos, if it was found to have little blisters, Yasser Shelas Chacham, he should ask a competent Talmud Chacham who can render a decision about the halachos of trefos, about different sicknesses in an animal, to see if these warts, if the warts on the intestines of the geese would render it non-kosher because of a blockage in its intestines. So he should bring this Shaila to someone who can assess whether these warts are a kashrus concern, whether it's concerned about a blockage in its intestines. Let's see halacha chafei. Ein loshen iso b'cholav. One may not need dough with milk. You should not make a dough which is milchig. Shemayochal hapas im abasar, because maybe he'll eat that bread with meat. Therefore, you should not make milchig bread because he might come to eat it with meat. The imlosh, and if he needed milk into the bread, kol hapas asura, the entire bread is forbidden. Afilu la'ochla levada, even to eat it alone without meat, it's forbidden to eat it on its own as milchig bread. Gezerah, it's a halachic concern. Shemayochla im basar, maybe he'll eat it with meat. Therefore, he should not eat the bread alone if it was needed as milchig bread, if he mixed milchigs into the batter, into the dough. Vimhaya davar muat, if it was a small amount of bread, k'deachilas pa'amachas, the amount a person would eat at one sitting, if it was just one serving of this milchig bread, o shishina tziras hapas, or if he changed the appearance of the bread, sheyehe nikur, that it should be recognizable as being different from regular bread, shalala ochla im basar, that he'll know not to eat it with meat. If he either made the bread a different shape to show it's not regular bread and it's milchig bread, or if he made a small amount, that there's no concern he'll forget and eat it with fleishigs. He just made a small amount, he'll eat it in one serving, and he'll eat it without fleishigs. Mutter, then it's permitted to eat that bread, because there's no concern he'll eat it with fleishigs if either it was a small amount or if it had a different shape. V'chein hadin, it's the same halacha, the same set of rules. Imlosh isa, if he needed the dough, im shuman shal basar, with meat fat, if he made a fleishiga bread, there's a concern about eating that with milchigs. Therefore, if he made a different shape to show it's fleishig, or if he made a small amount, he'll eat it in one serving, it's mutter. But if he made a larger amount without any different shape, it will be prohibited to eat that bread. The Kitzur continues, Ve'en lefos shum pas, one should not bake any bread in pladin with like a cheese knish, o pashtida is like a meat knish, betaner, in an oven. One should not bake bread with a milchig knish or a fleishiga knish in the same oven. meaning the meat knish itself or the cheese knish itself is permitted because it's clearly, you see the actual meat inside of it or the cheese inside of it. But he should not bake it in the same oven with bread. T'chashinon, because we're concerned, shemayozov minachema, maybe some of the butter will drip out. Omenashoman, or some of the meat fat will drip out. Tachas hapas, under the bread. Maybe some of the milchig, the butter, or the fleishigs, the meat fat will drip out under the bread. Therefore, you should not bake bread and this milchig or fleishig knish in the same oven. V'yemzov tachteha, if it dripped out under the bread. Dina ki'ilo nilosh ima, has the same halacha as if it was kneaded in the dough. The asa la'achla afil levada, it's forbidden to eat it even on its own. If some of this butter got out or some of the meat fat got out into the bread, and it was a larger amount that he wouldn't eat at one meal, and it did not have a distinct shape. Therefore, he may not even eat it alone because it's like milchig or fleishig bread if it got from the butter or the meat fat on top of it. Let's see halacha chavav. Pas she'afa imatzli, bread that was baked with roasting meat, bitanor echad, in the same oven. Imahaya hatanor sasam, if the oven was closed, if it was a closed oven without any way for the air to escape, fahatzli magula, and the roasting meat was open, was not covered, the roasting meat didn't have a covering on it. Asura hapas la'achla b'cholav, the bread is forbidden to eat with milk. In this example, this is a concept in halacha called recha. Literally, there's like a smell of meat in the bread. It was just roasted in the same oven without actually having contact from the bread to the meat. So such a bread is considered to be fleishig in the sense that you should not eat it with milk. If it was roasted with meat, he should not eat it with milk. The bread itself is permitted because it's just a weaker taste of meat in it. But he should not eat that bread with milk if it was roasted in the same oven as meat. If the meat was uncovered and the oven was closed, there was no place for the meat smell to escape. Aval imatzli haya mechusa. However, if the roasted meat was covered, o shehaya hatanur pasuach, or if the oven was open, there was a place for the air to escape. Futanur gadol, and if it was a big oven, kitanurim shalano, like our ovens, if it was a big oven, mutter is permitted if it was a big oven and there was a place for the air to escape, or alternatively, if the meat was covered, then the bread is permitted to eat with milchigs because it's not considered fleishigs if either the meat was covered or the oven had a place for the air to escape, it was somewhat open and it was big, that the smell sort of diffused. But nevertheless, l'chatchila, in an ideal situation, yesh li zoher, one should be careful, shul alitzlos basar betan or shofen bopas, one should not roast meat in an oven that one is baking bread in that oven. T'chashinan, because we are concerned, shema yozov min ashumen, maybe some of that meat fat will ooze out, will spill out tachas hapas, under the bread. That one should ideally not bake parva bread with meat in the same oven, because maybe some of the meat will get out, some of the meat fat will ooze under the bread and make it fleishig. Vafilo hatzlihu b'machavas, even if the roasted meat is in a pan, but if it spills out, it will just stay in the pan. Yesh lochash, still one should be concerned not to bake it in the same oven as bread, because it might, again, because the smell might get from the meat onto the bread, this concept of recha, of the literally the smell of meat spreading to the bread. So therefore, ideally, one should not bake bread and meat in the same oven. If he did, if the oven was open and it was a little bit big, or if the meat was covered, it would be permitted to eat bread baked in such a way with milchigs. Let's see halacha chav zayin. Tanashazov bekarkishalo, a oven that is spilled out onto the floor of this oven, shuman, meat fat, o chalav, or milk. Tzarech hesek, it needs to be fired up, it needs to be lit up, kiddin, like the halachos of kashering. The kitza discusses the halachos of kashering through fire in Simon Kuf Dez Zayin. until the coals cover the entire surface of the oven. Vyaslabin will do libun. Libun is the process of kashering through fire. Let's see halacha chavches. He reverts back to the discussion of halachas of treifos, of animals that have a concern of an injury. Tanagolim misurasim, chickens that are castrated, nogim la'achlam. The custom is to eat them. We're not concerned about some sort of injury to its intestines. Mishum desomchen, because we can rely. We can assume the guy, the non-Jew who's doing the castration, who uman, he's a professional. Ubaki bidavar, he's an expert. Shalayasa b'tefira, that you shouldn't make through the stitching, some sort of injury in the intestines. We can assume in the process of doing the castration, this non-Jew who did it is a professional, that he won't injure the intestines. He says in the parentheses, "Ayin lekamansim mekuvtali aleph sif vav." Those halachos, the Kitzur talks about how a Jew may not castrate an animal, and also may not ask a Jew. He may not even ask a non-Jew to do it. So we're talking about a case where the non-Jew did it on his own. So the Kitzur is saying that a non-Jew who is a professional who does this castration, again, he does it on his own, without being asked by a Jew, then there's no concern of the kashrus of the chicken, because we assume that the intestines are still intact. However, if there's some sort of reisa, there's some sort of indication of a flaw in the intestines, even if it's just the fact that they're in the wrong position, that the intestines seem to be positioned in a different way than they would be naturally, they would be forbidden in such a case. We would be concerned about an injury or a hole in the intestines. Let's see halacha chavtes, one more halacha of treifos. B'ktsas mekomos, there are certain places, nogin anochim, the custom of the non-Jews, hamefatin avozos l'Yisraelim, they fatten geese for the Jews. Shadokrin osan tachas kanfeim, they pierce them under their wings, b'machat v'kedome, with a needle or some other implement, k'deish yisnapeach habosar, in order to make the meat swollen, to make it look fatter. V'yisra'u shmenos, and now the geese would look fatter. V'yesh bazeh she'elas chachum, that's a question for a competent halachic authority, imen k'sheros olo, if they're kosher or not, because the piercing is done in the wings, it doesn't necessarily cause an injury to an internal organ, but maybe there was an internal organ that got injured through this process of putting a needle to the wings. So one should ask a competent halachic authority. The same applies to an animal, that there are times because it ate so much, it has a dangerous situation, has a bloating of gas. Or if it was the way it is healed, shadokrin also b'marzeya, they pierce it with an awl, or a sharp instrument, neged akeres, opposite its stomach. Yesh b'zeg gamkin she'elas chacham, that's also a question for halachic authority in mikshera, is it kosher if there's a concern of it being pierced to relieve the bloating, that maybe it made an injury in the stomach? One should ask a competent halachic authority. Let's see, halacha lamid. Noagin la'asas peros merukach, and the custom is to make fruit which is preserved. Shnosnes ha'peros toch tzluchis, they put the fruit inside a jar. Umechasin, and they cover the jar. The kosher nespiyad, they tie its mouth. Bishalfuchis behema, with the uterus of an animal. They would use a uterus that would apparently preserve the fruits better. V'chem amidin osa l'toch tanucham, they would also put it like that into a warm oven. Shirukachu aperus, that would cause the fruit to become preserved. Tzrichim lizoher, they have to be careful. Shedei ha'shalfuchas mebehema k'shera, that uterus being used should be from a kosher animal. V'huchshura, and it was kashered gam b'mlicha v'hadacha karoi, with the salting and washing, like the proper kashering of meat. The Kitzur described those halachas in Siman Lamed Vav. So you have to make sure that the uterus is from a kosher animal that was kashered properly. Some of the halachas we described today, there's a number of articles on the website of Kitzur 365. There's an article about Maris Ayin, about doing something which looks like it's Aser, halachas of Maris Ayin, about Bitzel Isurim, about nullifying Iser, mixing Iser into a mixture where it's nullified. keeping also an article about kashas and hotels and on cruises. Also, the articles about using the same stove or oven for basar and challah for meat and milk, or also using microwave ovens for meat and milk. And also an article about milchige bread.